though. I don't really care if haters really don't agree though. Kill us in the streets and they weapon is police, claiming they ain't got no beef or steady, only eating keto. But we about to change that today. Your clans with guns and badges, they won't be safe. Your pipes that poison lands, no, they won't be safe. It's time to fight with us or get backed away. Because revolution steady right on the itinerary. I'm sick of seeing all my people in obituaries. Stay mad, Karen, we don't give an F-bomb. Blow it up by any means necessary. Have to say that I could be a revolutionary. I believe it, I can feel it in my capillaries. We out here and we showing no fear. Revolution's coming near, you don't want us as an adversary.
Fight the power!
Fight the power!
Riches on the earth got so many needs. I'm a giant, so they looking like my mini-me's. Never been a killer, but the world is tempting me. Steady killing me, but would never put an end to me. Fight the power, so in public, I'm the enemy. Privately contending with intentions of my energy. System all cap, feel like Kaepernick when he in the league. Overcoming haters like John Taylor, we in the lead. I deserve this gold medal. It's from the soil where we once settled. They want to spoil everyone's ghetto. My future son is about to know the level of expectation to be a black man in this generation. Cause this time, older revolution will be televised. Bringing the evolution of mankind. When you hear me speak, you can tell I'm wise. Truth set us free, that's why they tell us lies. Questioning everything I recognize.
Fight the power!
Fight the power!
This is how the revolution sounds. And you know we say fight the power!
Fight the power!
This is how the revolution sounds. And you know we say
you can murder a liberator, but you can't murder liberation.
Revolution's coming, yes, it's coming. Revolution's coming, yeah, it's coming, coming. Revolution's coming, yes, it's coming. Revolution's coming, yes, it's coming. Revolution's coming, yeah, it's coming, coming. Revolution's coming, yes, it's coming. Revolution's coming, yes, it's coming. Revolution's coming, yeah, it's coming, coming. Revolution's coming, yes, it's coming. Revolution's coming, yes, it's coming. Revolution's coming, yeah, it's coming, coming. Revolution's coming, yes, it's coming. Revolution's coming, yes, it's coming. Revolution's coming, yeah, it's coming, coming. Revolution's coming, yes, it's coming. Revolution's coming, yes, it's coming. Revolution's coming, yeah, it's coming, coming. Revolution's coming, yes, it's coming. Revolution's coming, yes, it's coming. Revolution's coming, yeah, it's coming, coming.
Views from the ground.
Views from the damn ground.
Views from the ground.
Views from the damn ground.
Views from the ground.
Views from the damn ground.
And that's on that, on that, on that. Welcome back. This is everyone's favorite agender host, DJ Love, and we are live here on KFAI and WFNU Frogtown Radio. We have an extra special show today. Today we actually have the Camden Chess Club in the house to talk about their one-year anniversary, which is going to be tomorrow. So welcome to the show. How you doing, Cameron?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having us, DJ.
Yeah, and so tell us about the Camden Chess Club and why you felt it was important to start it.
Yeah, the Camden Town Chess Club started in April of last year. I'm a big chess lover, as you know, and I felt like there wasn't a lot of opportunities to play organized chess in North Minneapolis, which is where I live. I felt like the accessibility was low, and I really felt like it was something that I was convinced that it was something that the community would enjoy. And so on a whim, I decided to start this chess club. And over the last year, we've been meeting for the most part weekly, and just trying to cater to building a community of chess players of all different kinds, ages, skill levels, and it's been really fun.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit more about the accessibility of finding buildings in North Minneapolis for things like a chess club.
Yeah, it's really hard. We got, I would say, kind of lucky. When I first started the club, we were meeting at what was called North Market, and it's still there, but they have kind of limited operations now compared to what they had before, so we're not meeting there anymore. So when I had to find a new space for us to meet, It's not as easy to find a place that's accessible for folks. And when I say that, I mean you can park there. It doesn't cost you to get in. There's no obligation to pay for something, for example, like a commercial business. So when you think about the spaces like that that exist in North, it feels like there are much fewer than other parts of the city.
Yeah, and I used to, my chess club, the Black King Chess Club, that meets on Sundays from 2 to 4 over at the Northeast Coffee Shop. We also started on the north side, and we struggled to find places that were open in North Minneapolis, and it doesn't seem to be a problem for a lot of the rest of the city, but, you know, just like it already being like a food desert and, you know, it doesn't have as many coffee shops and things like that. And it's just really unfortunate that I feel like that my club is over Northeast now. So, but now y'all are in the North Regional Library, right?
We are. Yeah, the North Regional Library has been a really great spot for us. It's, like I said, it's accessible, it's free. There's plenty of tables and chairs for us. It's been a really, really fortunate partnership that we have.
Yeah, and y'all chess club meets every
Thursday evenings, usually anywhere between like 5:30 or 6 to around 8 p.m. depending on which location we have for the evening. So we're meeting mostly at North Regional, but occasionally the room we meet in is not available, so we supplement that with different community centers in North, so their hours vary.
Yeah, and what's the best way for people to stay connected if they want to know if y'all are, which location you're at?
If you have an Instagram, we are on Instagram. It's Camden Town Chess Club. And if you're not on Instagram, you can still go to our Instagram page, and there is a link in the bio of our page that has a sign up to join an email list, and I disseminate information about the club through both the Instagram and the email list.
Yeah, so we are talking about the 1 year anniversary for Camden Town Chess Club here. It's going to be tomorrow, Thursday, and we have some of the members here with us as well. So welcome to the members.
Hey.
Hello.
So I have some questions for y'all. So what have y'all experience been at the Camden Town Chess Club?
They've been great. I mean, I personally have enjoyed them. They've been pretty convenient for me. Coming out of high school, all my friends moving away to different colleges, having a space like that to like meet new people and just casually talk has been nice. I'm not the best chess player, so it's also a nice place for me to practice my skills and improve myself a little bit more. It's nice.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm still very much a beginner at chess, so I'm not good at all. But I definitely do enjoy the Camden Town Chess Club because it's just very warm and welcoming the couple of times that I've been there, and I just really enjoy the people. It's a really cool community.
Yeah, so I've been going there since its first meeting. And I would say either beginners or more advanced players, it's very accepting. And
Yeah, and I just, I also think it's very diverse club as someone who's been to a lot of clubs over the years, and I just appreciate the warm and welcoming environment. I love that there's always, like, some music in the background and maybe a sports ball game on, depending on what's going on. So my next question, I'm going to ask y'all some chess questions.
Okay.
What's everyone's favorite chess opening? If you do have one.
Do you want us to name, like, the actual book name or just say, like, which piece?
We'll start with openings first.
Okay.
I've been loving the Catalan lately.
Ooh, the Catalan. That's my opening. What about you? Do you know?
Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit?
Okay. I'm basic. Okay. I'm basic. I mean, Queen's Gambit, the show, is what got me into chess in the first place. So, it makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm not versed in chess, so I can't answer that question.
I was going to say the Vienna game. I think that's a new opening that I've started playing recently. I've really enjoyed.
Okay. What's everyone's favorite chess piece?
Oh, goodness. The horse.
I like the queen.
Like the queen, period. Yep.
I like the rooks. I'm a rook enjoyer.
Okay. Rooks? What about you, Chaska?
I like the pawns.
Ooh, okay. Sophisticated. My favorite piece is the black pawn, so so what got y'all into chess? Like how did you learn chess?
Well, Queen's Gambit got me back into it, but my dad was the first one to teach me chess. And then I played it with him for a while. I kept losing, gave up on it for like 2 to 3 years. And then the show came out, Queen's Gambit, and then I got back into chess. So it's my origin story, pretty much.
That's the same for me. I learned chess as a kid. My mom taught me chess. We played it a little bit growing up, but it never really stuck. And then when the pandemic was going on and we were kind of all at home a lot and I watched Queen's Gambit, I got super into it. And then my brother also got really into it. And then I felt like I needed to try and get as good as he was. And I've been doing that now for like 6 years. And I have not done it.
Honestly, I learned chess at the Camden Town Chess Club. I was always interested in the game. I just never learned it or never took the time to learn it. So when I found the chess club, I was like, this is my opportunity, and like hopefully somebody there will teach me. And Cam did teach me, and also Chaska. So that's how I learned.
Started learning all the way back in elementary school. My dad just really wanted me to learn, and I'm happy he made that decision for me.
Let's see. I learned chess when my dad taught me when I was about 2 or 3, and that happened because he's a chess master. So I guess he started us young, but my brother didn't keep playing. So it's just me and my dad's thing, I guess. So most memorable loss. Does anyone have a most memorable loss?
I can name a most memorable loss. I don't remember who beat me, but it was during one of the club sessions. We were running out of time, and I was playing against someone. It was a timed game. I think we both had like 30-something seconds each, and I was up. I was winning, and he's laughing because he remembers this, I bet. And so as I'm winning, for some reason, everybody just like starts giving tips to my opponent out loud. I was being like jumped in chess. It was insane. I was being chess jumped. It was like the first, I didn't know what to do, and I lost. I was up so much to lose in like 30 seconds, and I think about that pretty often. Yeah.
Traumatized.
It was very traumatizing.
I think it was Pashia, if I remember.
Was it?
I think it was.
It was.
My most memorable chess loss, this was a few years ago. I played in a tournament, and if you're a beginner chess player playing in chess tournaments, you would know that you end up playing a lot of children. And I played this kid who, I didn't know his age at the time that we played, but he sat down across the table and he could barely see across the table, and he destroyed me. Like, it wasn't even, I had zero chance from the beginning of the game. And I remember looking him up after, and he was like ranked as like a top 50 under 8 in the US. And he went on to, I mean, his rating now has well surpassed where we were playing at in that tournament. But I'll just never forget sitting across from him and being like, there's no way. I think I get more nervous against kids in tournaments than I do playing adults.
A few months ago at a tournament, I was in a very back and forth game. I was winning early on. Then he would ask me for a draw. The game goes on. Because I wanted to play for a win. then I'm losing. I try and ask for a draw. The game goes on. It goes to even. And then I should just play for a draw or maybe even ask him for a draw. I keep playing, and then I lose.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I've had that happen before. And
well, I'm a beginner, so most of the games I've played, I've lost. So...
I would say my most memorable loss, I was playing in the state championship for the best amateur in Minnesota, and I remember I met this, this is when I was younger, and I met this dude who's about my age, like one of the only people around my age at the tournaments, and I was like, oh, you're cool, we're just going to be friends now, you're a person of color, you're around my age, and we walked around and talked for like 3-4 hours, got food together, all the things, we come back, and we were supposed to play each other. And I was like, I just met this man. Are you going to adjust? Like, I was like, this is crazy. And we had a very back and forth game, and he ended up winning. And but even though I lost the biggest trophy I ever had a chance of winning, because it was literally just like a 10-inch like queen, black queen, and I really wanted it. And even though I lost it, we became very good friends, and that's one of my closest friends, and we get together and play chess all the time, despite the fact that he threw that trophy away. Anyway.
Come on now.
So our next question is going to be kind of an exclusive one here, because I know we have some streamers, and so I just want to ask y'all, how has streaming chess gone for y'all, and like what got y'all into it, and why do you enjoy it? Because we have two of them.
I didn't know we had two, but I'll go and talk about streaming. I've enjoyed it. I think it's really fun. It's helped my chess. It's probably hurt my chess in a lot of ways too, just the amount I play. But I think it's so similar to starting a chess club in the sense of, like, you're building your own community of people around you, and you enjoy showing up for them. And, yeah, for me, it's all pretty much chess. I don't stream a whole lot of other games besides chess. Here and there I do, but I've really come to enjoy it. And when I'm on a good schedule streaming, it's really fun. Yeah, I don't know. I just started on a whim. I was like, somebody kept telling me, like, oh, you should stream chess. You should stream chess. So I finally did it one day, and it stuck.
It's been a while since I've been streaming, but it was really fun. And just, like, vocalizing, talking to myself, mostly by myself, because I didn't have any viewers, really.
I was in there.
But yeah, I feel like it really was helping me learn when I was streaming chess.
Did you ever watch back your own videos and like listen to your thought process? Because I've done that, and I'm like, why was I? You know, you look at it later, and it doesn't make any sense.
See the mistakes in my words.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, well, we have been talking with the Camden Town Chess Club. They're having their 1-year anniversary tomorrow on Thursday at the North Regional Library about 5:30 to 8. We're going to end with this last question. What do you enjoy about the Camden Town Chess Club, and what keeps you coming back?
I would say, like, well, I mean, practicing chess, obviously, but then mostly like the people and a chance to socialize. I keep meeting new people every time I show up, and that's nice. It's refreshing. It's a nice break from like the day and life in general. Just the people that show up and you meet and have conversations with.
It's pretty low intensity environments, just most of the way through the week on Thursday. Do a couple classes throughout the week and just be able to unwind on a Thursday at the library.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't been in a while, but the people definitely keep me coming back, because the first couple times I came, like, everyone was just really warm and welcoming, and that just made me want to keep coming back, so, yeah.
Well, I keep coming back because we keep having Chess Club, but it really, yeah, it's definitely the people. I always, I mean, every time I show up to Chess Club, I just say, as long as one person comes, I will be so happy. And yeah, I've just been so grateful to everybody that's come to the club. If it's been once, if it's been twice, or if you told somebody about the club, or if you shared a Instagram story or anything like that. I mean, I started the club. I didn't even have a second event planned. It was just one day, and yeah, we're here a year later. So I'm so looking forward to tomorrow. We're gonna have food. We're gonna have music. I'm gonna have a slideshow of all the pictures I've taken over the last year. So I'm excited for that as well. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to every week. I look forward to seeing different people making new friends and seeing other people make friends amongst themselves too. I think that's the coolest thing, is when people talk about like, oh, we played a chess game outside of Chess Club. I think that's awesome.
Yes, and I remember when y'all when it first started, and I heard it on KMLJ, and my friends are texting me the poster, all these people. My dad's like, "Did you hear about the Chess Club?" I was like, "Oh my god!" I was like, "Okay, I'm going." Like, so we just appreciate you know, the community that's there. We appreciate the fact that the environment that you create and just how safe it is. And we just appreciate all that you do for the club. And will you let people know how they can find you?
Yeah, so it's either Camden Town Chess Club on Instagram, and we have an email list as well. Those are the two best ways to find information about what times we're meeting, what days we're meeting, where we're meeting. Go, and if you don't, like I said, if you don't have an Instagram, still go to the Instagram. You can join an email list, and I send information there as well.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here with Fanaka Nation, Blinky Love.
Hey, girl, I found a way to describe your loving. Your love is gangster. We call that Blinky Love. Fanaka Nation, I see you, Bakari. Lil mama put that blicky on me. Lil mama put that blicky on me. Lil mama put that blicky on me. She stretch up my love. She bang, oh she move, oh she bang, oh she move. Charlie is a wishy-washy lover until we went boom boom undercovers. Make my engine boom boom like no other. Drive me crazy when she go yeah. She only call me Poppy undercover. Okay, I guess I'm Poppy like no other. Why you wanna do me in the worst way? Been 9 months, baby, let me meet mommy. Lil mama put that blicky on me. Lil mama put that blicky on me. Lil mama put that blicky on me. She stretch up my love. She bang, oh she move, oh she bang, oh she move, go, go. So there she like my feng shui. Come swing it my way. Can't believe I got here with this nigga. Go, go, go. So there she like my feng shui. Come swing it my way. Can't believe I got here with this nigga.
Shawty is a wishy-washy lover. You came in like a thief in the night, yeah. You came in like a thief in the night, you. Don't know where you be taking my heart at. No wonder I be keeping my guard up. Shawty is a wishy-washy lover.
Why you wanna do me in the worst way? Why you give me blue ball on my birthday? I can tell you thirsty from the first date. How you gon' throw it way down and desert me? Nobody in my head, in my head, in my head. Only shorty with that pump, with that lip. She ain't for my head like. Lil mama put that blicky on me. Lil mama put that blicky on me. Lil mama put that blicky on me. She stretch up my love. She bang, oh she move, she bang, she move,
go, 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 shorty, she like my feng shui, come swing it my way, can't believe I got hit with this nigga, go, 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 shorty, she like my feng shui, come swing it my way, can't believe I got hit with this nigga.
Well, I guess I'm curious. Support for KFAI is provided in part by the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting An Evening with Kelly Moran, Friday, April 24th. Kelly Moran is a New York-based composer and pianist who has spent her career excavating the sonic possibilities of the piano. Her music lives at the intersection of classical, minimalism, jazz, and electronic. She's touring with the latest release, Don't Trust Mirrors. Synthesizers and altered mechanics join the piano not as decorations, but as gateways into the beyond. More information about An Evening with Kelly Moran is available at thecedar.org.
Welcome back to Views from the Ground.
Views from the damn ground.
All right. And I have my friends, more friends in the studio. We have Money, Power, Land, Solidarity, ex-Views from the Ground.
Views from the damn ground.
Hey. So yeah, y'all have a podcast, Minneapolis-based, about economic and urban development, local politics, race, class, wealth, and culture from a working-class leftist perspective. So y'all have been on the show before. It is so great to have y'all back on the show, and I'm just excited to see y'all.
Yeah, man, it's really good to be here. I check out the show whenever I can, and I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, so what brings y'all back, Jacob?
We're back today. We actually, listeners of the show will know, we've been on a hiatus. In like 2023, we put the show to rest, always hoping to come back. It's a team of myself, GP Jacob, I'm the host. Isaac Spector, who's here today, is the producer of the show. And then Deanna Siegel Garcia is kind of the back of the house, organizer, utility player, gets things in order. In 2023, we kind of had to take a step back. We were going through some personal and professional transformations, which for me included becoming a teacher. I'm in my fourth year as a teacher in Minneapolis Public Schools. And I wasn't expecting to bring the podcast back anytime soon. I think about it a lot. I want to do it. But it was really the situation that we were faced with in Minneapolis Public Schools. After Operation Metro Surge, after the ICE attack of our city this winter, Minneapolis Public Schools is hitting staff and students with dramatic, drastic budget cuts. So I was involved with a group of other rank and file educators who were looking to push back against those budget cuts. And we looked at each other around the room and were saying, how do we let more people know about this? And I said, hey, maybe we could fire back up the podcast and let people know. So we just, we released two new episodes. We released one last week and we released one this week. And we got at least one more coming, you know, to really try to ring the alarm bells for the Twin Cities, for the city of Minneapolis, as far as what's happening in our public schools, the cuts that are facing our students, our families, and our teachers.
Yeah. When we went on hiatus, I didn't know if we'd come back, honestly.
Yeah, same.
It feels good to be producing episodes again, and it feels very urgent and necessary in terms of getting the word out about what's happening. And in that time, I last year became an ESP, special education assistant at Justice Page Middle School. And I can speak to the way I was on last year, actually, to talk about budget cuts. I hope this isn't a tradition of me coming on every year to tell y'all about how devastating the district is being with their cuts. But at our school, Justice Page Middle School, we kind of got hit with a double dose of cuts. The first was we have three amazing bilingual assistant educators. One of them we lost funding for due to losing Title I, which was a direct effect of Operation Metro Surge, because parents weren't able to fill out these forms, these free and reduced lunch forms, which meant we dropped below this 40% threshold, which lost us Title I funding, including this one bilingual assistant educator. And then our other two were cut as a, not even as a means of these budget cuts per se, but at the discretion of our administration at our school, decided to cut the rest of our associate assistant educators, bilingual educators. So that's three amazing resources who also kind of operate as deans in our school and just, you know, helping kids out in the hallways, getting them to class, help them with their issues. And it just mirrors the overall cuts throughout the district. Jake made a really good point on the episode released this week that it feels very Trumpian.
Yeah.
And to me, yeah, it feels like with these cuts, especially with who they're targeting, it feels like cruelty is kind of the point. So just wanted to echo those words that were really prescient for me. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you start talking about, like, the cuts and who they affect, like, I start thinking about the adult educators. Can y'all tell us a little bit more about that as well and how that's what community that's affecting?
Certainly, and if people want to check out directly from adult education rank and file educators, we just released an episode of the podcast today, and you can hear from three folks who work in adult ed. But basically, adult education works to provide people who, for whatever reason, they don't have a high school diploma, whether that be they had to drop out when they were in high school or they immigrated to this country and didn't go through the high school program here. So the student population that adult ed serves is like 80% immigrants. It's a tight-knit community. It's helping people pick up the English language so that they can move ahead in their career, so that they could enter the job market, so that they can contribute and participate more fully in our society. Adult education is losing half of their teaching staff. And for people to think about, this is after Operation Metro Surge. This is after these campuses were forced into hiding. And these are parents, you know, these are people who are raising children, sending them to Minneapolis public schools, people who lost spouses, maybe were detained themselves, people who were worried about their children being detained, you know, forced into hiding by these masked, violent goons who invaded our city. And then finally, you know, after the drawdown of Operation Metro Surge and things start to relax a little bit and they can come back out and go back to school, they get to their school to find out that half of their teaching staff is being cut. And then all the Somali-speaking support staff. We talked to the cultural liaison on our show who does so much for his community and is a hub connecting people to this resource at adult ed. And from my conversations with them, you just pick up that it's a really tight-knit community. These are motivated people who really want to be there. And from what I hear, this could really mean adult ed closes in these next couple years, because it's a downward spiral. Half the teaching staff gets cut, which means they can't serve the same amount of students, which means their funding continues to get cut. So they're really looking at this like it's an existential crisis, like their program might not be here in a couple years. So adult ed, that's a big target of these cuts. Another thing is, then if you're looking at, you know, general education birth to 22, like K-12, 30 English language learning teachers are cut now. Again, after Operation Metro Surge, after our immigrant brothers and sisters were in the crosshairs of the Trump administration, now they're in the crosshairs of Minneapolis public schools. 30 English language learning teachers being cut at this time when our immigrant students need more support than ever. It's just, it's unbelievable. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, I'll add just on top of that, one of the big wins of our last contract cycle, which was, it's kind of crazy to think about, it was this past fall. It's been a crazy school year.
Yeah.
was getting pay parity for these adult educators. So when you add that context on top of it, it does feels really cool and cruel, and it also feels like a direct rebuke of the wins that our union made this past fall in terms of solidarity with our adult educators who are doing the same work as our Birth 22 teachers, and we're getting underpaid for it, obviously.
100%. And another thing to add, it's like, as I'm saying it out loud, it almost sounds like I'm joking, but I'm not. So you got adult education taking cuts. You got all these bilingual support staff. You got the EL teachers being cut. And then the other area that's getting cut particularly hard is school counselors, mental health workers, and social workers. It's been a heartbreaking school year. I see my students dealing with the trauma of having family members detained, of having to hide in their homes, you know? And right at that time when our students need the most, we're cutting their mental health support and we're cutting social workers. And I'm, by no means are these are not the only cuts hitting the district. Other programs are being cut too, but I think wanting to highlight these in terms of like attacking the very same communities that just survived this vicious attack from Operation Metro Surge.
Yeah, and the more that, and I agree with everything you're saying. So what is a way to get involved in the help?
There's, you know, people organizing on a couple different fronts. I'm connected with a group of rank and file educators who have been pushing to make May 1st a day of action. It doesn't look like the district is going to officially cancel school, you know, and different buildings are in different positions. But May 1st, you know, if you can come out to some of the community events that are taking place, that's something somebody might want to do. The other thing I think...
What's happening on May 1st?
You know, you got to check the gram and check. I know there's big marches happening.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of community activation happening. I don't really have the specifics in front of me.
Yeah, the day of no work, no school, no shopping. That's
exactly
happening for International Workers Day.
Exactly. Another thing I got to be honest as I'm sitting up here is this really lit a fire in me, because I think more so than calling somebody out to like a specific action right now is we all need to start paying year-round attention to what's happening in Minneapolis public schools. We all need to start showing up, whether it be if you're a parent whose children go to Minneapolis public schools and you can get involved at the site level, whether you work in the building as an educator. Like, I think all of our buildings got more organized this year because we had to. Or you're a community member. You know, maybe you don't have kids in schools right now. This is our future, you know, so starting to tune into school board meetings. I know that there is a finance committee meeting next week, for example. There's meetings happening all the time. So I guess I don't have like a specific call to people right now, but more so asking people to start tuning in any way that they can.
I think it's important to mention that these cuts aren't official yet.
Mm.
They're going to be voted on in June, I believe, by the school board. So if you see your school board member in person, preferably, you know, let them know what you think. Let them know how devastating these cuts are. But yeah, beyond that, obviously staying involved. I think we need, looking at like what Chicago is doing, just like more collaboration between parents, between families, between teachers, and creating a really resilient network that can fight against these. Because a lot of the stuff that's coming down the pipe is from people that are kind of doing marching orders.
Huh.
They don't want public schools to work well. They don't want to see enrollment increase. So we really have to treat this as like community has to fight back against these forces of austerity that are trying to make our lives more hell than they are, honestly. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, and it really feels like they're trying to make the students pay for their mess up, because we just saw the article about the finance person who didn't file the taxes and then paid millions of dollars in tax penalties to the IRS, and I saw some numbers in some of the papers that were talking about like that could have been 50 teachers, like,
yeah.
So
it's even deeper than that. There's been a couple different articles coming out. So they were withholding from a certain account that they were supposed to be putting in. They were not filing the taxes correctly and getting tax penalties. There's also people put in a FOIA request for public information, and the district had hired an outside consultant to look into the dysfunction of the finance department. And if you read that document, it shows that like for basically the last 3-4 years, it's been a dysfunctional department. So who knows all the ways that they've been mismanaging the money? We've already documented several of them. But if you read that report, it basically, it describes extreme dysfunction. There was that one person who was let go, but it sounds like it's even deeper than that. So that's another thing we wanted to call to people's attention and get everybody asking these questions, because I think we're only scratching the surface of the way that the money's been mismanaged.
Yeah, I mean, I forget which school board member it was, but they sent out this message, you know, kind of patting themselves on the back for hiring this outside contractor. I think they're paying him like $68,000 a month to take over the finance responsibilities at the school, at the district. And so they're kind of patting themselves on the back for doing this investigation into the, I think it's like $3 million that is just missing, that they can't say for sure hasn't been, you know, embezzled, wire fraud, whatever, but they also are trying to say it wasn't, you know, but they can't find it. So yeah,
and DJ, you said it perfectly as far as who pays for that then. It's my students who are already every year asked to do more with less, and the teachers who are asked to do more with less. It's unacceptable.
So, yeah, well, I appreciate y'all coming on and letting us know about these budget cuts. To remind folks, the budget cuts are not permanent. They don't go into effect till sometime in January. So, June. So we still have time to fight back and organize and to make sure that we protect our youth, especially our youth that just got done enduring this brunt end of Metro Surge.
100%. I would like to say one more thing. Just a big shout out to all the students, all the families, all the educators, because on one side you have the district's response, right, which is the phrase that's been coming to my mind is like the iron fist inside the velvet glove. It's like they're doing the same work as the fascist Trump regime, just with a different patina on it, right? So you have, that's on one side. But then the other side is the huge power and solidarity that we showed this winter. Like this, my son is a Minneapolis public school student, and his school was protecting students at bus stops half the city away. We raised millions of dollars from the bottom up to pay rent, to pay mortgages. We got food to people. We protected each other. So I just want to give a huge shout out. Like, as frustrated and as sick as I am with the bureaucracy at the district, I'm equally as inspired by my students and my colleagues and the community members around the schools.
Yep. And we did that. We created those networks. 100%. And we got to make sure that those networks stay open, too. And we're not just being like, oh, well, everyone's safe, we're all good. No, we got to keep talking to our neighbors. We got to keep supporting them and figuring out how we can help folks. So
yeah, can I say one more thing?
Yeah,
there?
Keep going.
Now that I'm here, man, it's like, I also have to say how absurd it is to be sitting here begging for money to keep teachers hired when we don't have enough teachers as it is. So the idea that we're losing them while we're spending billions a day on an unjust, aggressive imperialist war. We're bombing school children in other countries with the money that should be going to our kids. And it's like, it's so sick in this society that it's almost like I feel silly saying that, but it's like we have to keep speaking that truth, that it's like it's so absurd that we almost don't see it. But that's another thing that's been really frustrating to me, is I'm scrapping, trying to provide the basics for my students in supposedly the wealthiest country in the world, while we're you know, using our resources to bomb and oppress other people. So this local struggle for our schools is connected to the struggle against American imperialism and colonialism and capitalism in general. So it's like, as much as we need to know the details about the Minneapolis public schools budget, we're really talking about revolutionary changes in our society and our priorities. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And just changing all of it, because the wars, like, instead of teaching our kids, we're murdering other kids. Like, that we just, that can't be.
It's shameful. It's disgusting. Mm.
Yeah, and the youth ain't going to be for it.
No.
So I already heard a couple of conversations over the last couple of weeks where they're coming up with ways the youth are talking about, how are you going to dodge the draft? And I was like, yeah, period.
For real.
Well, I hope we get in the same cell together. I was like, yep. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
They're going to be all right. So.
For sure. We're in good hands with the youth, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So with all that being said, I really appreciate y'all coming on. And, yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, DJ.
Yep, with that coming on next, we're going to have T.I. with Let 'Em Know.
Hey.
Ran into the checker flag, running through the red light. 12 gave me gun, they won't pull over till I'm dead right. Riding to the sunrise, can't buy no bed. Ain't gon' care no ride with me, let they fight. Better know. From Westside Atlanta or the Best Style, all the way to Crenshaw, I'ma have the mind. Better know. Big popping, ain't no look. Dropping bags, it's a lot to you to me, a look. Let them know. Chevy 40 cal in my lap. Real dope boys in the trap. The big yacht, hauling like a big shot. So my make me room for you, gotta let them know. I don't turn, wrestle, I don't lip box. Solitaires, all I do is big rocks. I came from Dilly Rock, all the way to Hitchhut. On the throne, bitch, and when I'm on, she can kick rock, let her know. Head, what I'm standing on, business, big chick, we done did that, pushing weird back, better give me respect and some more. Atlanta, no, for I would book a show for a grand or so. I was selling grand right on camera, telling hammers go. Lane speaking to me, what you need a camera for? From center here to hitting, from center phone, better know. They call it ballin', we just call it living. They say you live and die by your decision. Well, I'ma push it to the limit, never mind the consequences interfering. I'ma handle business, better let them know. On another level, my assets are put together. Hit the pedal, do 200 everywhere I go. Better than I stay fly, just to show the day now. On the throne, then when I'm on, she can kick rock, let her know. P on the track, Louis Duffel bag, 50 rack. Poppin' so nauseous, I ain't got no country promo. Like I still got a pocket full of crack. All they do is fight for number two, cause I'm the one. Still make it play with the one. All we know is success, hit her with some rich sex. Good luck in your back, she forever mine till I let her go.
Welcome back to Views from the Ground, Views from the Damn Ground. We just got done to Let 'Em Know, T.I.'s newest single. Shout out to my dad for showing me that song. And we have one of my extra special friends on. We have Rolfie. Welcome to the show.
What's up? What's up? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so it's great to have you on. At this point, I feel like we've known each other for so long.
I think it's like 10 plus years at this point. Now,
yeah, it's so. 10 plus years.
Yeah.
Because I met you back at Edison.
Mm-hmm. Was it my freshman year?
Yep, your freshman year.
Okay, yeah.
Yep, I met you your freshman year. You came in with Joe.
Of course.
Shout out to Josiah.
Shout out Josiah.
Just coming to Chess Club all those years.
Didn't know a thing about chess. They don't know a thing about chess. That was just kind of my thing, just being anywhere and everywhere I could be. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We was just relaxing. Was just chilling.
Yep.
And now, you know, we going into graduation, we've been seeing each other for the last, like, couple of decades?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds crazy actually saying that word, but... Yeah, it's been that long now, so.
So, yeah, and so you just turned 25 over the weekend.
Yep.
Ooh. How was that?
It was fun. You know, I'm getting to that age where I got to really appreciate the people who are around me, you know? So it was definitely fun just spending time with everybody that, you know, I care about, you know? And I guess just let's get out the way now. I was 2 hours late to my own party. Yes, guys.
Yes, you were.
You know, the day before, the night before, I had a little pre-party. And then, you know, wasn't, you know, all the way there for the actual party the next day. But, you know, things happen sometimes. But it was still a good time, regardless of the fact.
Yeah, so, and it was just really cool because, you know, you're one of the funniest people I know. You're always super nice and you're always pumping people up. And it was just cool to see everyone pump you up that night and, you know, you get your little flowers. So.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, definitely good just, you know, just being there, just in the moment, you feel me?
Yeah, and so what have you learned in your 25 years of life, like?
What have I learned?
Yeah, well, what's one of the big things? If you could give Rafi, young Rafi, some advice, like, what you got?
Okay, I'd probably say just be yourself, really, and just don't care too much about what other people think or what other people may even think, you know? Because in my younger years, I definitely let outside influence that I wasn't even sure about dictate some of the ways that I decided to move in life or just some of the things I decided to do in my life as well. And just also just try even like half a bit more harder in school. And that's what I would say that I learned in life.
So you just turned 25 over the weekend. What's coming up this year? Like, tell me more about 2025. What plans we got?
Well, you know, finna try to find my own spot hopefully sometime in the next couple months. Finna try to purchase a car. I don't know, I got a lot of things planned. Just, you know, do a little bit more traveling as well. Just really tune in on myself and my needs and just keep evolving, honestly.
Yeah, and maybe you know, I'm just throwing my own little two cents in there.
Oh my god,
you know, rude me. Maybe we get some art more, you know, so get to do some more art.
Art?
Yeah.
I mean,
y'all don't know this man gonna be an actor.
I actually, yeah, like anybody who's listening, if you guys are directing any plays, any short films, anything, let me know. And I will definitely look into it and, you know, be part of any type of auditioning, all that.
Yeah, so, well, thank you, Rafi, for just being an overall great guy. I just love you so much, and I'm glad that you're in my life.
I love you, too. I'm glad for you to be part of my life as well, and I thank you for having me on here.
All right, coming up next, we have the Notorious B.I.G.
Cabbage off instinct. Just don't think, just think. Pink Gators, my Detroit players. Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. That's dead right, if the head right. Biggie there, and I. Papa been smooth since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruise, cruise, who? Do something to us. Talk, go through us. Girls want to us, wanna do us. Screw us, who us? Yeah, Papa and Pop. Close like Starsky and Hutch. Stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M3. Bang every MC easily. Recently, frontin' ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my peace. Come keep my peace. Cubans with the Jesus peace. Thank with you, my peace, packing, asking who want it. You got it, flaunt it. That Brooklyn bull, we on it.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways.
Guess it's why they broke in your soul. I put the NY onto DKNY. Miami, D.C., prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly tours, know it's Moschino. Every cutie with the booty, boy, the coochie. Now he's the real dookie. Meaning who's really this Rodgers, Frank White pushed the six on the Lexus LX, 4.5. Bulletproof glass tints if I want some snap. Gon' blast squeeze first, ask questions last. That's how most of these so-called gangsters pass. At last, rapping about blunts and broads. Is them bras, menage a trois. Sex and expensive cars. I still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for, no car payment. At my arraignment,
Note for the plaintiff. Your daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement. Face it, not guilty. That's how I stay still. Richer than Richie. So you just come and get. Come on.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken. You're so fake. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken. You're so fake.
I can fill you with real millionaires. That's cargo, my cargo. 160, on. Swiftly. Wreck it by your new one. Your crew run, run, run. Your crew run, run, run. I know you sick of this lame brand. With flows, girl, say he sweet like licorice. So get with this. It's easy. Girlfriend, here's a pick. Call me round 10. Come through. Have sex on rugs, that's Persian.
That's right.
Come up to your job. Hit you while you're working. For certain. Papa freaking. Not speaking. Leave that ass leaking like rapper demo. Tell them. Take their clothes off slowly. Kill them with the force like Obi. It's black like Kobe. What's been Rome like Rome? Lucky they don't owe me. Where to say, show me.
Say
homie.
Homie.
Biggie, Biggie, Biggie. Can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so fake. Baby, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so fake. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so fake. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so fake. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways.
And for the last thing here on the show, we're just going to have, I just want to say 10 years of reflection and transformation to our embodiment of the color purple. We love you, Prince.
Lightning seeds.